Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Welcome to the show. My name is Al Gordon, and as always, we're working on your financial freedom. On today's show, I've got a homework assignment for you. Yeah, and you thought your days of doing homework were long in the past, didn't you? Well, this is a very important homework assignment, and this will not take you a lot of time to do. But I think it's important that you understand where you sit financially with regards to your income streams when you retire. I'm getting at Social Security. That's what I'm talking about right now. See, Social Security is something that you and I have paid into for the vast majority of our lives. Any job that you had, Social Security taxes, I call them taxes, were taken out, as well as Medicare taxes. Now, if you work for somebody else, the way the thing works is you pay half, your employer pays half. So you might be thinking, oh, okay, well, I'm getting matching funds from my employer. It's not the way your employer looks at it. Your employer looks at it from the standpoint of that's a cost associated with you being on the payroll. It's factored into your compensation package. Now, you may not see it, but that's the way your employer looks at it. And if you're self-employed, and there's a lot of people out there that are self-employed, you know that you pay both sides of Social Security and Medicare because there is no employer to pay that other half for you. It works out to be 15.3% of your earnings when you're self-employed. It's a big chunk of money. And you may be one of those people that are banking on Social Security. So here's the homework assignment I have for you. Go to ssa.gov, that's Social Security Administration.gov, and when you get there, take a look at your Social Security statement. Now, you're probably going to have to, you know, set a login, whatever you need to do to get that statement. It's not that difficult. Get that statement. And then take a look at what Social Security projects you earning on a monthly basis. And then what I want you to do is I want you to take a look at all of the money that the Social Security Administration acquired on your behalf through payroll deductions, or if you're self-employed, by the fact that you had to make those payments through the IRS. Take a look at all the money that went into your Social Security benefit. And then do some simple math. Figure out what kind of rate of return you're looking at. Now, that's a little more complex. So to make this a little bit easier, I'm going to give you my numbers. I am going to tell you what the Social Security Administration told me with regards to my estimated benefit at what they call full retirement age. Now, for people that were born in the year I was born, which was back in 64, that's the age of 67. So if you're doing the math with me, you realize that I will turn 57 next month. I will. I didn't tell you what month, but yeah, I was born in April. Social Security Administration says that my estimated benefit at full retirement age at the age of 67, which is still 10 years away, based on the earnings that have been reported on my behalf and the monies that have been deposited into the Social Security Administration account, $2,695. That's right, almost $2,700. And you might be thinking, wow, that's not bad. Well, you know what? It really is bad. It really is bad because when I took a look at all of the money that was paid in for Social Security, and I look at the money that was also paid in for Medicare, that was a sizable chunk of money. And based on all reportings through the year 2020, that worked out to be about $276,000, let's just call it $277,000, that over time was deposited, either taken out of my paycheck or paid on my behalf by my employer, which, by the way, it's not a freebie, because if the employer didn't have to pay that amount for me, they may have paid me more money. Yeah, I know. It's kind of the way it is. But then when I look at, okay, let's say I get to the age of 67. And let's say I think I've got 10 years remaining on my lifespan that I'll make it to the age of 77. And again, that's a guess, because I don't know how long I'm going to live. The total amount that Social Security would pay me if I stopped working right now, I paid nothing more into Social Security, I wait 10 years to draw that amount, and I live 10 years and I get 10 years of payments, will be about $323,400. So you might be thinking, wow, man, you're getting more money out of the system than you put into the system. And if you look at the raw numbers, yeah, I would actually be drawing about 16.5%, almost 17% more money out of the system than I put into the system. But wait, we haven't factored in something called inflation. See, inflation changes everything. And when you take a look at inflation and you start to understand how inflation works, you start to understand that, wow, I'm actually losing money. And if I don't make it the full 10 years, let's say I only make it 5 years, the government drew more money out of my account than they paid me. It is a mess. When we come back from the break, I'm going to get into inflation.
Del Wamsley talks about finding that one thing that made sense for the lifestyle.
I looked at franchises. I looked at multi-level marketing. I looked at everything in the world. But nothing made as much sense as buying one simple little rental property.
Real estate is your best option. Real estate makes sense. Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your first rental property. Join our live online free workshop to find out more. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
As I sit here and read article after article and see TV show after TV show, the normal person out there on the street cannot overcome their fear to get to the analytical part of this whole process. I'm not afraid of, and I'm actually ready for, a recession, a crash of value of anything and everything. Why? It is the opportunity to do incredible stuff. But that's my analytical brain.
The United States has a very strong economy. We will return to our basic economic foundation. This is not going to be the end of the world for everyone. But you do need to take some action. And some actions will be more productive than others. And one of the things that I think you can do now is take this time, like you said, Del. People are going to be sitting at home, and you have a time right now to change your life. Make what you have work for you.
You need to get into lifestyles right now.
Join us for our free online workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Warning, listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. So before I get into this discussion of inflation, which I think you need to listen to, I'm going to quote a statement that is on my Social Security statement, the one that the government sends me, that tells me about all the money that I've paid in, or it's been reported, that my earnings that have been reported to the government, and along that measure, Social Security and Medicare benefits were taxed. That's my word for it. I think it's a tax. And they were put into the Social Security Trust Fund or wherever that money goes. I'm not here trying to teach you about how the government manages Social Security and Medicare. Let me read you what is on this statement. It says, and I quote, Social Security benefits are, now this is where the text becomes emboldened, not intended to be your only source of income when you retire. Period. On average, Social Security will replace about 40% of your annual pre-retirement earnings. You will need other savings, investments, pensions, or retirement accounts to live comfortably when you retire. That's the government telling you that the Social Security system is not a retirement plan. It's going to provide you money, but really when you get into the details of the money, it's nothing more than a savings account, which you may or may not take money out of that equates to what you put into it. In 1980, at the age of 16, I stopped delivering papers. Now, as a paper boy, I wasn't taxed. I don't think the government cares what paper boys earn. And I didn't make a lot of money. Maybe I made, I don't know, $100 a month delivering papers around the neighborhood, riding around on a bicycle. Well, at the age of 16, I decided, hey, I'm old enough to work. I could go get a job. And that job could pay me more money than I'm making delivering papers. I might be able to make a couple $100 a month. Because back then, minimum wage was like $2.90, $3, whatever it was. But that's what it was. And I went to a fast food restaurant that was conveniently located up the road from where I lived. And I filled out an application. I said, hey, I'd like to work for you. And in one of the boxes, it said start date. And I said June, because I wanted to wait until summer to start the job. Well, the guy that was hiring said, what's preventing you from working right now? And I said, well, I don't know, school maybe. He goes, you can work after school. Come on board. So I took the job. And I started working in fast food so that I could get money to buy stuff that I couldn't buy when I was delivering papers. And the stuff that I wanted was a car. Now, it wasn't some fancy, beautiful, brand new thing. No, it was a 10-year-old car that a friend of my father's was looking to get rid of, and he made me a deal. He sold me the car for $500. And he allowed me to pay him $100 per month for 5 months until I paid it off with no interest. Seemed like a great deal to me. So I got my 10-year-old clunker, and I started driving around. And then I realized that 10-year-old cars, well, they have maintenance problems. So a lot of the money, as a matter of fact, if I recall correctly, the majority of the money that I earned from working in fast food went into that vehicle so that now I could have transportation that was not a bicycle. I could actually get around and do other things that, you know, was more convenient to me, and I could go places farther away than I could on a bicycle. So I poured the money that I earned into gasoline. I poured the money that I earned into repairs on that vehicle because, trust me, that 10-year-old car, it had issues. It had issues. And I had to fix this, and then I had to fix that. It was a maintenance nightmare, but at least I had a car. I mean, that's what it was all about. And back in 1980, I was paying Social Security taxes. I'm not quite sure when Medicare kicked in. But if it was in play back then, I was paying those taxes. So let's talk a little bit about inflation. I think inflation is widely misunderstood by just about everybody. I mean, even economists tend to have a hard time coming to a general agreement as to what the true definition of inflation is. I mean, economists don't agree on everything, trust me. They all have their opinions. So if you ask a person on the street what inflation is, they usually say, well, that's just the price of things going up. That's what inflation is, which is more of a consequence of inflation rather than the actual cause of inflation. See, inflation is like a new car that lacks maintenance. At first, there's little notice of the issue, but over time, major problems start occurring and eventually the car breaks down. So if you want to see inflation that goes out of control, look to governments like, I don't know, Venezuela, you know, where they have people that are literally using wheelbarrows full of cash to go buy basic food items. And in the United States, inflation has occurred primarily because of the Federal Reserve's banking policy. Too much cash, or maybe debt, chasing the same amount of goods. That's really what inflation is. And only when you look at longer periods of time do you see the insidious nature of inflation. And that's what I'm trying to point out to you today. But somehow, the data used to measure inflation misses most of what has happened because it uses derivatives like measures. So, you know, for instance, they may use owner's equivalent of rent instead of the true monthly cost of owning a home. So what I did was I found a study that was done in 2015. And what that study does is it compares the cost of different things between the year 1975 and 2015. Okay, so the study is 6 years old, but that doesn't matter because it is a measure of a 40-year period of time. And I hate to admit it, but I was alive during the time period when this study was looked at initially and the time it was closed out. When we come back, I'm going to give you some of that feedback.
Del Walmsley talks about positive cash flow tax-free.
I bought one little rent house. So a month later, I bought three more. Now I started receiving even more positive cash flow. $880 a month positive cash flow after just 2 months. This cash flow was tax-free because of the way I did it. Because if you know how to do it the right way, you won't pay taxes on that.
Give yourself a raise tax-free. Find out how at Lifestyles Unlimited's live online free workshop. Register today at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. So we're going to talk a little bit about what I consider to be the erosion of your Social Security benefits. And it has to do with the thing called inflation, which we talked a little bit about what inflation is, at least my version of it, in the last segment. So we always hear about something called the shrinking middle class. I've heard it. I'm sure you have heard it. But where are they shrinking to? I mean, what does that really mean? Well, most of the disappearing act, the shrinking portion, comes at the hands of inflation. That is, their income, in other words, the middle class's income, is no longer sufficient to support the items that were once categorized as part of the middle class. Things like a car, a home, maybe college education for the kids, basic health care. You know, for many Americans, these items are just, they're getting out of reach. And don't take my word for it. You just turn on the news and you'll see stories about, you know, the fact that things are going up and up and up. And I don't believe that Social Security is doing a good job of keeping up with that. I mean, I firmly believe that if I wait 10 more years, I will watch my Social Security benefit essentially erode. Not because they reduce the amount of payment that they're going to issue to me, but because in 10 years from now, the cost of the things that I would use that money to buy has gone up higher than whatever increases I receive from Social Security. So let's talk about some of these things. Now, there's a gentleman by the name of David Stockman that put together a pretty interesting chart. And essentially, in his report, he talked about the cost of living in the United States back in 1975. And I realize maybe you weren't born in 75 or alive in 75, but I was alive in 75. I remember it. I was 11 years old versus 2015. And I'm pretty confident you were alive in 2015. Because there aren't a lot of six-year-olds that listen to this radio show. So let's talk about the comparison of cost for a new house. Since this is a real estate investment show, let's talk about the purchase of a new house. But not for investment, just for your own domicile. In 1975, the median cost of a new home was around $48,000. The cost for that same new home, similar home, in 2015, $270,200. Now, one of the things David Stockman did was he did an analysis of what that home would cost in 1975 based on the purchasing power of money in 2015. I know it's complicated, but the number was $209,417. So what does that mean? Well, first of all, the big takeaway is this. Wherever you choose to live, housing is a significant cost of your expenses of living, right? I mean, whether you own a home and you pay a mortgage or you rent and you pay your rent, that dollar amount is significant. You know, most Americans tend to spend about a third of their income on the cost of their housing. And that doesn't even include utility costs. So it's a significant amount. But a new home that costs $270,200 in 2015 is actually adjusted for inflation because you would have been able to buy that property in 2015, if you use the value of money based on 1975 for $209,417. What this represents is a real increase of value of 29%. It goes to show that real estate has a tendency to not only appreciate, but also stay ahead of inflation. Now, let's compare that to maybe the cost of a new car. So back in 1975, you could buy a new car for $3,800. That was the cost of a new car. A similar new car in 2015 cost around $31,250. But if you used 1975 dollars to buy a vehicle in 2015, the real cost of that car should have only been $16,578. What that's telling you is there's a true doubling of costs. Oh, and by the way, things like cars, with the very rare exception, cars depreciate in value. That's right. You buy a new car, you drive it off the lot, and the value immediately goes down. And many of us wind up being upside down if we took out a loan on that vehicle. It's just the way it is. Look, public costs for college, for public college costs, in other words, going to a public school, were up 150%, while private college costs were up over 160% back in 2015 compared to what those costs were in 1975. And here's the thing, we're paying a lot of money to go to college. And not all of us get scholarships. A lot of students take out student loan debt to pay for the costs associated with attending college, with the hopes that they'll get a job, and with that job, they'll earn more money in the future than they would have earned had they just went into the workforce. And there's different formulas out there for what that break-even number is. But think about it. Student loan debt was $1.3 trillion in 2015. Today, it's over $1.6 trillion. Part of that inflation? Maybe so. But you have to consider what you're doing for income streams in your life. And the majority of you are going to work to earn income. You have not been exposed to, or maybe you just haven't had the opportunity to learn that the secret to financial independence is really developing streams of passive income. Because working for somebody else, or even working for yourself in a business as a self-employed person, you're taking 40 or more hours out of your week, and you are dedicating that time to producing work for someone else or for yourself, and you're busy. Now, you do have, potentially, depending on what you do have some free time. And, you know, maybe you spend that with your family. Maybe you spend that relaxing. I would encourage you to start learning about passive streams of income. Because those passive streams of income will allow you to increase your overall income. And you get to a certain point in your life where you have developed enough passive streams of income that it meets or exceeds your ordinary expenses of living. See, that right there is the true definition of retirement. You won't find that on the Social Security website.
Here's Lifestyles Unlimited founder and CEO, self-made multimillionaire, and national radio host, Del Wamsley, on getting the information you need to get through this.
So you ask yourself, isn't this the wrong time to get out of the stock market? Very well could be. But maybe it might go down. And then you ask yourself, man, if I would have had some of that money, I could have used it. People are going to be afraid. And the people who are in real estate that are losing money are going to be afraid. And they're going to want to get out. And when they do, we're going to be able to go in and buy at very advantageous prices that are going to change our family's future, quite honestly. So you need information on how to do that. You need the knowledge of how to get through this. You need to get into Lifestyles right now.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at LifestylesUnlimitedWorkshop.com.
Back with the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We're here to answer your questions and help you become financially free.
Welcome back to the show. So what I'm really trying to relate to you is that you have an income problem. And you might be thinking, where did you get that from, man? I'm making more money this year than I made back in 2015. And that may be true. But here's the thing. Overall, U.S. households are just simply poorer. And here's why. Because they have less to spend relative to the cost of the goods and services that they consume. See, money is only as good as what that money can purchase. You can't eat $100 bills. But this is one of the main reasons people feel like they're poor. See, I've had elderly people in my life. My parents lived through the Great Depression. Their siblings lived through the Great Depression. Yeah, my parents were on the older side when I was born. So they saw how difficult it could be. And they would put money aside, and they didn't trust banks. Because the stock market kicked the whole thing off with the Great Depression. And then when people went to banks to try and get their money out, the bank said, sorry, you can't have it. That's why a lot of people back, you know, maybe 90 or so years ago, started digging holes in their backyard and putting money in jars and hiding it or putting it under the mattress. I mean, that's where all that came from. Now, today's generations, we've been taught differently. We don't do that. We put our money in financial institutions. And the financial institutions like that because the way the whole banking system works, it's better for them to have control of your money. Yeah. It's the way those 401ks work and IRAs. I mean, don't you understand that the government is putting restrictions on what you can and cannot do with your money? And if you want to take your money out and you're not 59 and a half, you get to pay a 10% penalty on any money you take out, unless there's some special program out there that the government allows you to take certain money out penalty free. And you're still going to pay the taxes, whether you pay the taxes by taking the money out today or you take it out in the future. See, it's all that control. They control us through the financial institutions. Now, there's a way to break that control. It's to learn about different approaches to financial security in your future. So let me get back to my elderly relatives. They're all passed away now. But here's the thing. I remember sitting down with my, at that time, 89-year-old aunt. And this is just before she passed away. And this is the one relative that I had that was living off of Social Security like everybody else was. But she actually had passive income from a real estate investment. And that passive income that came in from that investment exceeded what she made in Social Security. I think she was making like $920 a month on Social Security. Yet that passive income stream was $1,600 a month. Yeah, it's just the way it is. And it's treated differently because it's passive income. She didn't have to pay Social Security. I don't even want to get into that. But here's the thing. Here's what she told me before she died. She has seen the effects of inflation in her lifetime. Because she realizes that even though she was getting $920 a month from Social Security back in 2019, when she was younger, had she had that amount of money, she would have been considered very wealthy. But as time progressed, the value of those dollars eroded because the cost of goods and services went up. And even though she was getting $925 a month, it wasn't going very far. So what I implore you to do is to kind of wrap your head around finding a different path to follow. We've got a map for you to follow. We've got it figured out. We can show you how to start investing in residential income producing real estate so that you can start earning that passive income that will create a transition in your life that maybe 5 years from now will get you to a point where that passive income is meeting or exceeding your ordinary bills. And at that point, you have what's called a decision to make. Do you keep working or do you retire yourself? Because here's the thing, you are now in control. Even with inflation, even with the fact that the dollar today will buy less in 5 years from now than that dollar 5 years from now. I mean, same dollar bill, it has less purchasing power. You will be in a position where you're in control. You're in absolute control because you'll make the decision as to whether or not you choose to keep working. Let's say you're in a job that you hate. I was in one of those jobs. When I left the military and I had to find employment, I found one of those jobs. I needed a job. I needed the income source. But I hated the job. It wore on me. It wore me out. When I found real estate investing and I learned how to do it the correct way, I was able to position myself to be able to walk away from that job. See, at that point, I had regained control of my life. Not that I ever had it prior to that. And now I continually work to find new investment opportunities for myself and my family that allows me to earn more passive income. It allows me to stay ahead of inflation. Kind of like earlier in the show when I said that the only thing that was really staying ahead of inflation was real estate. That was the only example. I didn't give you all 20 things the guy listed, but it was the only thing that was staying ahead of inflation. I was on a, we call them a webinar, and This is a webinar for members of Lifestyles Unlimited that are focused on multifamily investing. And that's one of the ways I invest. And the webinar was essentially a deep dive into a deal that one of our members had put together. And they were talking about everything. They were opening the books. They went from what they were looking for the goals and objectives, what the asset was that they acquired, how did they acquire that asset, what did it cost them to renovate that asset, what did that asset do for them once they repositioned it in the marketplace, and what was the result? Let me just tell you the result. They were able to create a 124% return on investment in just 3 years. So what that means is, if you put $100,000 into that deal, not only did you get your $100,000 back, but they returned an additional $124,000. So if you were an investor in the deal that they put together, you more than doubled your money in just 3 years. That is a much better result than paying into Social Security. Because to me, Social Security is a crapshoot. I mean, you know, there's all kinds of articles out there that talk about, is it even going to be around past 2034? Or whatever the current projection is now. Oh, and here's the other thing. They tax you on your Social Security benefit. So there's a tax on top of the money. Yeah, I know. Which erodes you even more. You're not even going to get as much. So even though when they say you get this amount of money, remember your homework assignment, there's potential to tax you on that. Ah, man. That's just the wrong way. Look, go to ssa.gov, take a look at your Social Security statement, and then go to freeworkshoplivestream.com. Spend an hour and a half listening to how we can help you change your life, and let's get you on the path to financial independence in the next 5 years.
Thank you for listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.